Welcome to the Horizon Church podcast. Horizon Church is a Christ-centered, word-based, and spirit-led church. We are so happy to bring this message to you, and on behalf of our pastors, Brad and Ali Bonholm, and the Horizon Church team, we pray it's a blessing to you. We're going to get into the word tonight, straight into it, if you don't mind. The title of the message is Living in His Shadow. Living in His Shadow. I can see some of you already taking notes. So good. Living in His Shadow. And the scripture we're going to read is like rich. Like this is like decadent. You know when you eat like a cucumber or a celery stick and it's like you haven't even eaten. It's like there's nothing in your tummy. But this scripture, man, it's like a double choc New York style cookie. It's like a really thick brownie. Like this is, you know when you've eaten something decadent because it just sits in your tummy and you just think about it. You're like, whoa, that was intense. And that is this scripture, man. It is like decadent. It is like rich. And where we'll pick up the story is in Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. So, there had been words spoken that Jesus would be the king, that he would be the Messiah, that he would be born to a virgin. And all this had been said many, many years ago before he even stepped on the earth. But before all of that, this had been prophesied many times over. And so this wouldn't have been an uncommon thing to hear. It was all through the book of Isaiah, the prophecies about Jesus coming. But here is when Jesus enters the story. And some say that there was 400 years of silence where no prophetic word was spoken. 400 years where they didn't hear another prophecy about God. And you and I, we probably have an interesting time interpreting silence. Some would interpret silence as distance. Some would interpret silence as inaction. But I got nieces and nephews. And if they're silent, something's happening. Like if there's something's going on and someone needs to run and rush to help out whatever's going on there, if they're silent, there's something seriously going on. And even though it's been a long time since they had heard a word, it didn't make it any less true. Because when God says something, he is faithful to fulfill it. When God makes a promise, he will come through. And so in Luke 1, we will read the story of Mary and her cousin Elizabeth is having a miracle pregnancy. She's giving birth to John the Baptist. John the Baptist was prophesied to pave the way for Jesus. And so then we get to Mary, which is in from verse 26, Luke 1. It says this, in the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. This aligns with what had been spoken, that a king would come from the line of David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." And of course, she's confused and disturbed. How many are confused and disturbed when we read the word? We're like confused when God's talking to, like we can be real. Mary was confused and disturbed. Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen?" She's not saying it can't happen. She's just asking how. You know, when God gives a promise, you don't really understand sometimes the how. But just because we don't understand the how doesn't mean it can't happen. So she's asking, "But how can this happen?" And then the angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. She shouldn't have been pregnant, but because of God, there was a miracle." And I love what it says next. It says, used to say she was barren. They used to say that, but then God stepped in and a miracle happened. They used to say this about me, but then God stepped in and something else happened. And so it didn't matter what the people said about her, because when what God says matters more. For nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. His word, in another version, says, will never fail. And then Mary responds, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And then the angel left her. Isn't that incredible? May everything you have said about me, let your word over me be true. Let not what my friends say about me, not what my family has said about me, but what you have said about me, let that be true. And we're going to pray before we go any further. Father God, we just thank you for your word. We thank you that it is living and active. And Lord, we just pray over this place that you would overshadow us with your spirit, that you would bring the word to life in us, God, that you would do something in us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. I once had an invisible pen. You ever had an invisible pen? It was like my childhood dream. I was like, this is the coolest thing ever. I got a pen and you can't see what I'm writing. So I may as well just write whatever I want, wherever I want, whenever I want. Because you can't see what's written. Because on the back of the pen, there was like this little light. And if you shone the light on the words, then you could see it. But until the light's on the words, you can't see what's written. And so I liked this pen. I liked it a lot. I started writing everywhere. I mean, I won't tell you what I wrote. That's for me to know and for you to never find out. But I just started writing. I mean, I'm writing on the staircase. I'm writing on the walls. If there was a blank space, I was writing on it. The problem was I tagged my name a couple times. So I outed myself with that. But I mean, I'm writing everything everywhere. Turns out though, when it gets a bit dirty, it starts being seen. Oh my goodness, I was in big trouble from what I had written all over the walls, all over the doors, all over the kitchen, all over my bedroom. I would just went crazy with this written stuff, because the pen, it wasn't until the light shone on it that you could actually see what was written. And you know, Mary, she had heard the words before. They were written. They were already written. But in a moment when the Holy Spirit comes upon her, it comes to life in her. It says the word became flesh and dwelt among us. It's amazing what can happen when we're just reading the scripture one moment and then in the next moment the Holy Spirit reveals something and it comes alive. It starts to grow in us, because what God is doing in us, he wants to do through us. But it starts with his word. And at first we're like, man, I don't really get it. I'm kind of confused. I'm kind of disturbed. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon the word, it becomes clearer than it's been before. And Mary, she does something so crazy. She does something that you and I, it's very foreign to our society today. It's a very foreign thing. Mary submits herself to the word of God. Mary submits herself to the work of the Holy Spirit. Mary submits herself to his shadow. I don't know if you've noticed, people don't like being in the shadow. Like that's offensive to say we want to live in a shadow. But people are like, no, you got to step out of the shadow. You got to be in the spotlight. That's what we want. No. Mary was like, I'm okay with being in the shadow. I'm okay with playing the background. I'm okay if I'm not the main character. Because when she's saying yes to this, she's signing up for a life of being in the background. What Jesus did and who Jesus was always going to be more significant than her life. She's signing up for a life lived in the background. And so she submits herself to the word of God. And she said, well, may it be as you say. May your word over me be true. May your word over me be true. And she begins to submit herself to the shadow and the work of the Holy Spirit. And I wonder tonight, what happens in his shadow. What happens when we submit ourselves to the Word of God, when we submit ourselves to his shadow? And I got a few things for you tonight. The first thing that happens when you submit yourself to his shadow is you find rest. You find rest in his shadow. I remember once I in school, signed up to the walking club. Bad move. I would never do it again. I'm very sporty. I spent my whole younger years convincing one girl to play sport with me and all the guys. And then all of a sudden, I was like, okay, I'll walk and talk with the girls because that's what you want to do. I'm going to walk and talk with the girls. And so I signed up for this walking club, most boring thing. If I ever tell you I'm doing a walking club again, rush me to the hospital, check my vitals, something seriously wrong. Sorry if you're a walking club person, then bless you, love it, awesome. But I didn't like the walking club, so I'd run every now and again to make it more exciting, but you and I both know running's the worst form of exercise. It's so boring. It's the worst, dude. If you're a runner, bless you again, but man, it is not for me. It's so lonely. There's no goal. I don't get it. Anyway, I'm trying to make this walking club exciting, but it's really, really, really hot day. I'm talking like 45 degrees. I'm talking like the wild, wild west where like the ground is cracked and there's tumbleweeds going across. And I never exaggerate. So this all happened. And this is just hot day. I mean, I can barely walk at this point. It's not even that hard to walk, but I can barely walk. I'm like stumbling over my feet. I can't even talk. I'm like fumbling over my words. And every time we would see like a little bit of shade, we were like, just get to the shade. Just get to the shade. And there would be these tall, skinny trees. And when I'm with a group of people, we don't all fit underneath this tall, skinny tree. But some of us were living our life trying to just find the next bit of shade. We're stumbling, we're fumbling, we're just trying to get to the next bit of shade. We're just trying to find rest because we're tired and we're weary and we're exhausted. And we're exhausted because we're trying to do it in our own strength. And we're exhausted trying to make things happen on our own. We're exhausted because we take the promise of God and then we try and fulfill it on our own, and then it becomes a burden, not a blessing. And we become exhausted. And you and I, we're just looking for just one piece of shade. Just one little bit. Just one little bit of shade. But these things that we look to aren't big enough to cover us. See, the thing with shade, if it's not big enough, it can't cover you. But our God is big enough to cover us. Our God is great enough to cover us, to protect us. In Psalm 91, it says, those who dwell in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. You'll find rest in his shadow. And if you don't learn to find rest in him, you always live trying to prove yourself. If you don't learn how to find rest in how he loves you, you just try and prove yourself worthy all the time. You get into relationship after relationship trying to prove yourself worthy of love because you haven't found rest in God's love for you. We'll go from one thing to another, one little piece of shade, one moment of relief, rather than resting in the bigness of our God, rather than resting in his strength, rather than resting in him, because he is the Almighty God, big enough to cover us. And we find rest in him. We find rest in his strength. Because the most beautiful thing is to actually find yourself at the end of yourself. And you go, oh, I can't do it on my own. Oh God, I've tried this and I've tried that. But I just want to rest in your strength for me. You know, the closer you get to someone, the more willing you are to be your whole self. You know, when you're starting to get to know someone, you give them like a nice version of yourself. And then as the relationship develops, they just see all the nooks and crannies. They just see your whole self. Do you know with God, he sees everything. He's not put off by it. He's not walking away. You don't even have to go, you know, little step by step. He sees all of you, isn't put off. And you can find rest in the fact that he'll still love you. You can find rest in the fact that he cared for you yesterday, and no, nothing that can happen will make him go, okay, I'm done here. He won't just walk away in an instant because his thoughts are higher than ours and his ways are higher than ours. You find rest in his shadow, but you also find in his shadow there's growth. There's growth in the shadow because what God would begin to do on the inside of Mary would grow. And you ever told a pregnant woman she's glowing? They often don't agree because they don't feel like they're glowing because they're actually growing and there's stretch and there's discomfort. And on the outside, it may look one way, but on the inside, there's stretch, there's growth, there's discomfort, their appetites change, the things they do change, they develop the pregnant waddle, their walk changes. You've seen it. I can't wait till I'm pregnant waddling one day. I can't wait. But that's a few years away. But because God, when he's doing something in you, it often causes expansion, which makes things uncomfortable. Have you noticed? You're like, God's doing something in me. He's just revealed something about myself. And whoa, I wasn't ready to see that. But you're growing. And it's uncomfortable. And the things that used to fit you no longer fit you anymore. The way you used to be isn't how you are now. The things you used to desire and you used to have an appetite for, don't cut it anymore, because what God is doing is he's drawing you to himself and to new things. And so what used to fit you doesn't fit you anymore. Romans 12:2 says that we would be renewed, that we wouldn't conform to the pattern of this world, but be renewed by the transforming of our minds. And for something to be a pattern, it needs to be repeated enough to identify it as a pattern. That means you and I, we've got patterns in our life, things that have been repetitive, things we've done so many times, not just once, time and time and time again. And now God's beginning to shake those things up. And that's uncomfortable because even if that pattern was destructive, it was predictable. Even if that pattern, it doesn't lead to life, you at least know it's predictable. You've been there before. You've sat in the corner and sulked before. You get the patterns. But God's taking you out of that pattern into something new. So the things that used to fit you no longer fit you. The ways you used to respond to conflict, you can't respond to conflict in the same way anymore. You used to run, you used to try and escape from everything, but now God's doing something on the inside of you, showing you who you are. The way you used to, when things went wrong, you would run to this substance, or you would run to that program, or you would run to that relationship, and it used to fit you. It used to do the job, but it doesn't have the longevity. It won't protect you, it won't care for you the way God does. It used to fit you, but it no longer fits you. And what's taking place is growth in the unseen. But people don't want to be in the unseen. People want to be in the spotlight. They don't want to be in the unseen. We're like, get me. If anything, we just want our seen to be good. But God does a work in the unseen. And we hide his words in our heart. Do you know he would prepare David, a king, in the unseen places of a shepherd. He was prepared in the unseen. What God was doing in David, in that place, would prepare him to lead. He would prepare Moses in an unseen place. He would take him out of everything he has been into and then hide him for a season. Why? Because he was growing in the unseen. God was doing something in the unseen. I wonder if you would allow God to do something in the unseen for you. When it's just you at home, would you allow God to reveal your heart? Would you allow God to reveal these patterns of thought that need changing in your life? Because while they may be predictable, they're not for you. I wonder if you would allow God to reveal these patterns and then start to have his way in you. Because in his shadow, we find growth. You look at a tree, the deeper the roots go, the further it can go. A tree without strong roots, a tree without roots that go so deep, that go so wide, will end up falling when a storm comes. But God, we give ourselves to growth in the unseen, to our roots digging deeper, even if people don't recognize. In his shadow, we find growth, but in his shadow, we also find encouragement. In his shadow, we also find encouragement. Mary would figure out that she's not the only one that God is using. She's not the only one. She's not the only one. In fact, it would go on to say, and I'll read it to you. It says, a few days later, this is after this word, a few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. At the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leaped within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said. Why was she blessed? Was it because of her talent? Was it because of the family she came from? Was it because of the area she grew up in? Was it because of her abilities? Nope. She was blessed because she believed. It's that simple. She was blessed because she believed. She was blessed because she read this. She read what the Word of God said, and she chose to believe it. She chose to act on it. She chose to have faith. She was blessed because she believed. Not because she was striving or working really hard. It was simply because she believed. Here's the thing. You're not the only one that would choose to believe. You're not the only one that would choose to find rest in his shadow. The enemy will try and tell you, you're the only one. You're the only one. You're the only one in your school. You're the only one in your workplace. You're the only one in your family. And Elijah in the Old Testament, he believed he was the only prophet. You know where it drove him? To isolation and depression. And the truth was, he wasn't the only one. But the enemy would try and get you to believe you're the only one that would submit yourself to the work of God. You're the only one that would sit under his shadow. You're the only one that would allow the Holy Spirit to do something in you. Mary wasn't the only one. There Elizabeth is. And Elizabeth's response, she's not comparing herself. She's not even competing with Mary. She didn't go, oh man, I wish I could do that. I wish I got to be the mom of Jesus. How come you got to do that? Why wasn't I chosen for that? She doesn't say that. She's not comparing what God is doing inside of Mary to what God is doing inside of Elizabeth. There's no comparing. There's no sense of competition. There's none of that. It's simple. She just celebrated it. She got excited because God was doing something in her too. And now God's doing something in you. And man, I'm excited. That's why we're doing 40 days together, not on our own, because God's going to do things in us and God's going to do things in you. And as we hear and as we share with each other, then we're going to get excited. We're going to encourage one another. We're going to spur each other on. I'm tired of the Christian conversation being the awkward one. We can talk about pizza. We can talk about what we ate for breakfast. We can talk about what we're doing tomorrow. But then the God conversation comes up and we're like, oh yeah, you know, like you get all awkward. It makes it this weird thing. I'm tired of that. Come on, why can't we just talk about what God is doing in us normally? Why can't we talk about it as the same thing as a part of our day, like it's the most normal thing ever? There's so much room in God's shadow. It's not a place of comparison. It's not a place of competition. It's because here's the thing. Here's what Elizabeth realized. It's not Mary's glory. It's not Elizabeth's glory. It's God's glory. It's not my glory. It's not your glory. It's God's glory. And so when you share, I can celebrate you. Why? Because I'm just in the shadow anyway. You and I, we're just in the shadow anyway. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. I'm just in the shadow. I'm just allowing in His shadow to allow His strength to meet me in my weakness. I'm just allowing myself to grow in His shadow. I'm just choosing His shadow. Don't believe the lie that you're the only one in the shadow. You're not the only one in the shadow. You know, some of you, you've been praying for friends that would do this journey with you. You're like, God, I really need a friend. I really need a friend that will encourage me. I really need a friend that won't compete or compare, that will spur me on. I really need that. Do you know, Elizabeth was probably an unlikely friend. Probably wasn't the friend Mary expected. I feel like God's saying to some people in the room, I've actually surrounded you. Just open your eyes. They're all around you. I've positioned you with friends all around you that will encourage you, that will spur you on, that will cheer you on because of what I'm doing on the inside of you. I've already surrounded you. I've already got people for you. It may not be the way you expect. It may not be who you expect, but He's surrounding you with the right people. Oh, I'm surrounding you. I'm surrounding you. There's friendships for you. And you're going to find yourself stirred up because of what God is doing in someone else. There's room in His shadow for everyone. There's encouragement in His shadow. There's growth in His shadow. Why? Because we make room for His glory.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more info about Horizon Church, please visit our website at hz.church. Have a fantastic day, and we hope to see you again soon.